Welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Meadors. Brought to you by Fresno Pacific University on 790 ESPN.
Welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show. This is your host, Paul Meadors, live here at the ESPN studio, 1430, 790 ESPN as well. Thank you guys for listening. We do our show from the studio across from Bullard High School on Palm Avenue. And if you are listening to this podcast later, know that it is extremely cold. It is December 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2025. But my gosh, it has been really cold. Well, cold enough for California. We're certainly not used to freezing temperatures, but it does not warm up here in the Fresno area for the last couple of days. But anyway, we got a great show lined up for you tonight. We do the show every Wednesday night from 6 to 7. Like I mentioned, if you listen to the show later on any of the podcast forms, it's being streamed on YouTube right now as well. So you can go back and watch it there. Being streamed also on Spotify. Well, it will be on Spotify on the podcast, on Apple Podcasts as well, or any place that you listen to your podcast. All shows, I think we're up to show number 42. Year number two, but 42 shows that we are going to be completing tonight. So go back and listen to any of their shows. I just love talking to the wonderful student athletes at Fresno Pacific University. I myself am a proud alum. I graduated from the school in 1994 when it was Fresno Pacific College, FPC, but now obviously it's Fresno Pacific University. They compete in the Division II level. Tons of great stories from all of these great student athletes. You're going to hear from tonight. The men's water polo team is in the house. They finished their season. They're coming off a fourth place finish at the WWPA Championships, highlighted by the program's first ever trip to the semifinals. Had strong performances throughout tournament play, postseason run, paired with three Sunbirds earning all WWPA honors. Senior Forrest Gray, who we're going to hear from after the break. He was named to the All-WWPA second team. Goalkeeper Chase Hammes is also going to be on the show. He'll be actually on segment number two. He had honorable mention, sophomore Tristan Fox. He earned a spot on the All-Defensive team. And under first-year head coach, who we're going to hear from in both segments, Jonathan Miller did a fantastic job this year. This is the second time on the show. The Sunbirds showed a lot of growth this season. They're going to have a lot of momentum going into next year as well. So let me go over the young men who are going to be here talking about their stories, talking about the season. So Forrest Gray, Samuel Ramos is coming on as well. And don't want to forget Chase Hammes. He's been on the show before. He is a junior. Both the kids I mentioned before, I call them kids sometimes. Sorry, excuse me if I do that. They've been on the show. Jordan Lambert is a sophomore. He's going to be coming on as well. And as we do every episode, we got some good stuff to recap that happened at Fresno Pacific University. A lot has happened since the last time we aired. The men and women's swim team, they traveled down to East Los Angeles College for their midseason meet, the Laverne Winter Invitational. The Birds notched 37 total PRs, with senior Jillian Lambert earning an NCAA B-cut in the 50 free and sophomore Olivier Petre doing the same in the 200-meter freestyle. Men's and women's basketball has also kicked into full swing. Excited about the basketball season this year from Fresno Pacific. The women, they toppled Cal State San Bernardino, San Francisco State, and Stanislaus State. The men took losses against UC Merced, Cal State LA, and Cal State Monterey, but defeated San Francisco State. Men's water polo, who we just talked about, they were actually in Geneva, Ohio, for those WWPA championships. They defeated McKendree in the first round 17-13. They go on to finish fourth, like I mentioned. Forrest Gray, as always, he had 8 goals in the week, leading a group of Birds throughout the week. Gray earned that second team that we mentioned, Tristan Fox and Sanger. That's where Chase Hammes is from. Had a good conversation with him last time on the show about playing at Sanger High School. And how about that volleyball team? We follow them all season, only have that one loss on the year. They traveled beyond state lines to Honolulu for the 2025 PacWest Volleyball Championships. Quite a week for the Sunbirds. They beat host Chaminade on Thursday, taking care of them 3-1. And in Friday's championship match, if you missed any of the social media posts about that, they went up against number 6 Pointe Loma. And it was one of the great matches in recent Fresno Pacific University memory. They went to 5 sets, an instant classic. And, of course, the Birds went away with a 27-25 win in that final set. An incredible game. Cambria Waits had 16 kills and earned her PacWest All-Tournament. She was the most outstanding player. Senior Genevieve Elliott and grad student Michaela Weiss were also named to the All-PacWest Tournament team following the match. A lot more honors. So bear with us just for a second. Second-year head coach, Kelsey Montagna, fantastic coach, one of the best volleyball coaches I've seen in a long time. She captured both the PacWest Coach of the Year and AVCA All-West Regional Coach of the Year as well. Buchanan Bear, local Michaela Weiss, she captured PacWest Setter of the Year, All-PacWest First Team, and AVCA All-West Regional First Team. Geneva Elliott got All-PacWest First Team and All-AVCA All-West Regional First Team honors as well. Cambria Waits earned Second Team All-PacWest First Team honor and AVCA All-West Regional First Team. And Clovis East, freshman, Madeline Ferramisco, she was co-freshman of the year alongside All-PacWest Second Team honors. To top it off, the Birds are now the highest-ranked West Regional team in the nation, checking in at number 8 in the AVCA poll, their highest ranking ever in the Division II era. We're going to have more about them at the end of the show and this wonderful season that the volleyball team has had this year. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to bring on Forrest Gray and Samuel Ramos. They are both seniors and, of course, head coach Jonathan Miller. You're listening to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show, 790 ESPN. Like I mentioned in the opener, if you want to go back and listen to any episode, just go to wherever you listen to podcasts and search for Sunbird Sports Show, and boom, it pops up. I got full transparency. I don't think I've checked it this year, but I went to the Apple one. You know, you can vote, you know, 4 stars, 5 stars, whatever. There were 3 votes, all 5 stars. I'm very proud of it. And it didn't say I couldn't do it. So I gave myself a 5-star. I gave the show a 5-star rating. Right? Why not?
If you don't support yourself, who's going to do it?
That's right. That's right. The other ones might have been my mom and maybe a couple people at Fresno Pacific. But hey. All right, I have a lot of fun doing this. All that to say, this is a ton of fun. I hope the listeners out there really enjoy it. We got men's water polo in the house. I think this is for you, Coach. Second time, right? Second time on the show?
Yep, second time.
And then Forrest, second time for you as well, right?
Yeah.
All right, awesome. So excited to talk to Forrest, who's been on the show before. Forrest Gray, seems like I mention you all the time. When I do that opener and talk about the guys that scored all these goals, and, you know, Forrest Gray is always in there. So good to see you in person again. And we got Samuel Ramos as well. All right. I talked to Jonathan here, Coach John, and he said you guys, you switched up a little bit for Thanksgiving, and there's, what do we call it, a mid-semester break?
Fall break.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but you guys switched it up this year, so you got a full Thanksgiving, a full week for Thanksgiving, as opposed to a full week earlier. How was that for us? How was Thanksgiving compared to what it's been in the past?
Really good. I mean, we got to come home. We had a full week, and with the weekend, it's like 9 days. So I really got to be home for a long time. I live in San Jose, so we just drove down, and then I didn't even touch my car. Just stayed home all day or all week. So yeah, it was really good, being with family.
A nice two and a half hour drive, right? Is that about what it is for you?
Yeah, 2.5 hours.
There it is, on the dot. And you're driving, of course, within the speed limit.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Christmas is coming up. It's going to be here before we know it. Like, how do you compare the two at all? Like, what do you like better? You guys get like a month for Christmas as well. So that's probably an easy question for you. You like the Christmas break or Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Christmas break way more. All my family's back. But yeah, it's solid like 4 weeks, and then you could just eat and not even worry about school. No finals.
No final. And you got finals coming up?
Yeah, finals this weekend, next week.
Next week.
So I have two more finals left, but I'm basically done.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. Sam, what about for you? Like, what do you enjoy about Thanksgiving, maybe even compared to Christmas?
I actually enjoy Thanksgiving a lot more than Christmas, personally. Right. And especially this year, since we had like a full week of Thanksgiving break compared to our last like 3 years here as seniors, where we just got like 3 days where we got Thanksgiving and then the weekend off. So I thoroughly enjoyed Thanksgiving more than Christmas break. Yeah.
All right. Maybe going against the grain a little bit, though. Honesty, I like it. What do you grub out most on?
Stuffing. My mom makes the best stuffing in the world. It's so good.
Is there a secret ingredient? I know some people put raisins in it. Yes?
Craisins.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll take that. Coach, what about for you? Christmas, Thanksgiving?
I like them both, but Christmas is pretty awesome, especially having kids, like getting to do the Christmas morning and seeing them open presents and everything like that. It's a pretty cool experience.
Who buys the kids the Christmas presents? Do you or your wife? Or a little mix?
A little bit of mix, but mostly it's grandma and grandpa.
Oh,
you know, all right. They come in every year, clutch.
All right, good stuff. All right, so water polo season ended, help me out. Was it last week already, or has it been a couple weeks? 2 weeks.
The weekend before Thanksgiving.
Weekend before Thanksgiving. All right. So now looking back at the season as a whole, Coach, what are your biggest takeaways, I guess, from the entire season? I know you ended the season on a very positive note, but your takeaways from this year?
Well, I mean, going into, you know, my first year with the guys and just seeing the growth from the beginning of the season till the end. Like you said, we ended up playing our best water polo, I think, the last 2 weeks of the season, which is always the goal going in. And, you know, going into that first year, you're not exactly sure how the progression is going to go, you know, from the beginning of the season till conference championships. And, you know, we started out playing a lot of Division I's early in the season. And, you know, we were able to get a good win against, you know, Iona the second week of the season. And, you know, that kind of gave us a springboard into the next, you know, part where we got into conference play and, you know, had a couple good wins, you know, against UC Merced and Biola, and that, you know, kind of helped the momentum go and build all the way through the end. So I think the progression of the season and just watching the guys, you know, kind of build that cohesive culture, you know, of playing for each other and working, you know, bringing the work every single day. And that really paid off towards the end of the season.
Awesome. Let's talk about these guys to your right really quick. We're going to get to them in just a second. But let's start with Forrest. So, like I said, seemed like every time I do the recap, Forrest would be leading the team in goals. And he's probably just a guy you really relied on this year. What do you bring to the pool this year?
Well, definitely. I mean, playing on the side that he does, on the 1-2 side, the righty side of the pool, that's our scoring side, and we knew that's where the bulk of our perimeter goals are going to come from. And being the guy that we knew teams were going to game plan for and try and stop, and still being able to, you know, put, you know, 5, 6, 7 goals in a game when we really needed it, it's a big accomplishment. And knowing that, hey, if we needed, you know, to get a goal, we could, you know, force the ball over to that side. And not only that, but on the defensive end as well, you know, playing both ways and both sides of the pool, he was a big, obviously a big contributor, and was recognized with all conference and all tournament and everything like that.
What about Sam?
Sam worked on the opposite side of the pool. And so for Forrest being our leading scorer, Sam was our leading assist man. And kind of that, the right side of the pool, pushing the transition down, putting pressure on, going from defense to offense, getting the ball out quick, you know, and being able to, you know, distribute well. That's a big part of that side. And he did a really good job of making sure that we were always looking for the right opportunities and, you know, feeding our centers and the opposite side of the pool, and you know, doing the same on the defensive end as well. He had a few you know, huge shot blocks and stuff going down the stretch that, you know, won a couple games for us at the end. So that was huge for us.
All right, Forrest. Well, I saw you give your guy to your right some knuckles, right, helping you out, making your stats look good. Like, what was the synergy like for you guys in the pool this year, and how much can you thank that guy for the year that you had personally?
Yeah, Sam had a ton of, like, just the goals that I had, it was basically from, like, Sam and a couple, like, the team, like, really is the reason for the scoring. But Sam in particular, like, when there's like white clocks winding down, like Sam is like staring at me and like I'm trying to get open, and we just have like this connection where like he'll send it down the pool and we'll try to get a last ditch effort shot. A lot of times it didn't go in, but it was still like kind of a quality shot at the end of the day if we didn't have anything like going for us on offense. But yeah, it was Sam was always looking for other people.
Well, Sam, how many goals do you think you gave up that you could have scored by passing to this guy, right? Like, how unselfish were you?
Yeah, I would say I'm pretty unselfish with the ball. Like, I would say it's hard to say. We play different positions, so it's harder to score from my side of the pool than his side of the pool. So my goal is ultimately to give, like, better looks to better players that are on the stronger side of the pool. So, yeah, I may have gave up, like, 10 to 15 goals per se, but that gave Forrest 20 to 25. Well,
look at
goals,
that.
You know?
Would you take him out to Chipotle or something after games, after he served a bunch of assists to you, or what?
No, I make him say thank you to me for giving him those assists.
There you go.
No, but right. It's always a good time with Sam.
Good stuff. Is there like a specific goal like that was special this year, or like a really cool play that you guys made in the pool together? Like you said, Sam, you threw the ball ahead a lot, right? Where Forrest could go get it, and then he put it in, or maybe there was a really good pass that you made that you remember?
Yeah, a lot of our man-up plays, Forrest is either on the post or on the far side, and, like, making big cross passes over to Forrest, those are always the best goals when, like, no one's expecting me to pass it that far away, and then he scores, and then we always look at each other and, like, celebrate, you know? That's always a good feeling.
Yeah, against, like, I think against Biola, like, we tried forcing it a ton in, like, the second half, but every time, like, I would look at him and he'd always be looking at me. And so I think I made, like, one off of it or something, but it was just fun because we ended up beating Biola, but I think that was maybe one of those goals.
Was that the best win of the year? Like, how would you categorize your best win of the year?
I think it was such an important win. I think Biola was the best win of the year just because we've played them for 4 years, and they've always gotten the better of us in, like, 1-2 goal games. And we've always been on, like, the losing side of that. And then we, like, really came. We beat them, like, 6-11. So that was really big going in because that was the week before going into Ohio. And I think it gave us a ton of momentum going in to beat McKendree.
Yeah. Kind of the same for you?
Yeah, completely agree. We all had the game plan in mind, and we all knew our roles on the team and, like, what we needed to do as far as defense and offense, and like we all came together, and it was really nice to see that at the end of, like, towards the end of the season, you know.
So let's talk about that a little bit. The Ohio, right? You guys, like Coach said, you're playing your best water polo of the season. What was the reason for that? Would you guys just, like, some things came together? I mean, just walk us through that. Why was that a pretty successful tournament for you guys?
We play a lot of, like, Division Ones in the beginning of the season, and when stuff doesn't, like, go well, people, like, everyone tries to, like, force things, or, like, we're really just trying to find our role or, like, how we fit into the team going into conference, because it's ultimately conference that matters, not, like, any of the non-conference games we play. So we had, like, a meeting before Biola, like, in Chase's apartment or whatever, and just, like, what are some things we can do individually and just sticking to our roles, and we kind of, like, just said them out loud, like, what our roles, what are we going to do to impact the team positively, and I think that was really big. Because everyone kind of took it seriously.
Did you know they had that meeting? Was that just a players only deal that you guys had?
Oh, I knew about it after the fact. But I think our seniors and captains, they did a great job this year. Like, as a coach, you know, you put in a game plan and you work on stuff in practice. But ultimately, for guys to take ownership of it and hold each other accountable and put in that extra time, that's what makes it work.
So when the season ended, you guys, like I said, what, fourth place, right? Fourth place. Like, at the end, you guys, like, hey, you know, we left everything in the pool. I don't know, the steal is kind of a, you know, left everything on the court kind of phrase. Is that how you guys felt? Were you satisfied? Were you kind of hungry for more? What was kind of some of the thoughts, Sam, how about for you, that was kind of going through your mind when the season ended?
You know, you always want more. You know, it's my last year. I obviously, we want more water polo. But, yeah, I really feel like our team gave our best effort at conference, and I really do think that we fought well and we prepared for, like, what was going into conference, and yeah.
Forrest, what about for you? Were you sad, like, emotional after the game, or excited? Like, what were some of the thoughts going through your mind?
You have to take it one game at a time just because it's single elimination. We would get forced to the consolation bracket if we lost. So I think just going into McKendree, that was kind of the championship for us. Just going to get a chance to play Concordia for the championship game. But, yeah, I'm happy with the result. Concordia is a really good team. And, yeah. So.
All right. Yeah. Well, are you an emotional guy, though? I'm just thinking more of like, it's your final match at Fresno Pacific, and you guys are both four-year guys. Like, anything like that, or are you just kind of a kind of shaking his head, isn't he? He's like, no. Man, I'm just living life here.
No, I think like the emotional time was like the 3 weeks of like practice we had left when we realized that it will be over eventually. So I think that was sad, but it made practice better. Like just knowing like that to make the most of the practice, and yeah, that was it.
All right, Sam. What about for you? Was kind of like, were you emotional, or just like, hey, well, this is it. I had a fun time here.
Yeah, no, it hasn't really hit me yet. I mean, I've had a great time here at FPU for the past 4 years, and I mean, it still hasn't really hit me yet because we go to the cafeteria with all the boys still, and so it's like we're still part of the team. So yeah, I don't know when it'll hit me, but probably towards like next semester when they start practicing without us, you know.
Oh yeah, that's it. We're kind of walking by, and right, you see them practicing, or maybe a graduation.
Yeah,
maybe at graduation. All right, so what I'm curious about, like superstitions or pregame rituals or food. I always talk about food with some of the teams, but like what are some kooky things that maybe you guys do before a match or even in the water?
Like I drink like a Starbucks double shot before games. Every time I've drank one, I had like a great game, and then the times I forget it in my bag, like that's when I haven't played well. Probably that.
You forgot?
Yeah.
You left it in the bag?
Yeah.
All right, so double shot would just get you that sugar rush. Hi, water polo games don't last very long. What are your quarters again at the college level?
So we're 8-minute quarters.
You're 8-minute?
So with the breaks, it's usually about an hour.
About an hour. Mm-hmm. What about for you, Sam? You got anything that you do pre-match?
Yeah, same with Forrest. I energy drink every time before a game. I can't go without it. And then the times that I like do, I feel really tired. And then I also don't eat before games. Like a full stomach playing a full game, it's not the best. Yeah, my stomach starts hurting.
Afterwards, where do you grub out at? Stuffing your mom's stuffing with the craisins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canes. Okay.
Yeah, coach takes us out to mostly Chipotle, Chick-fil-A, sometimes Pieology, Subway. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Couple more questions for the guys before we're gonna wrap it up with coach. All right, so graduation for both you in the fall. What was your major? What are you gonna graduate with? What are your future goals? What do you hope to line up after college? Forrest, what about for you?
I'm a business major, and then like maybe freshman year, I decided I want to go into teaching. So I'm studying for my teaching credential test, like the CSETs and stuff right now. I'll probably take in January, but I want to be a teacher.
Where are you going to do your student teaching? Do you have that lined up yet?
I don't have that lined up. So I haven't even applied to programs yet. Applications open in February, but either San Jose State or FPU.
All right. You hope to be a coach one day?
Yeah, teaching and coaching. I helped coach at Clovis East this like fall, and it really confirmed that I want to do that too.
Awesome. Stay local. San Jose, yeah. All right. You could go back home and, you know, hang out with your family in San Jose, but stay here. We need good coaches here.
Yeah,
in
true.
The Valley.
Yeah, I love the Valley. Awesome. I would love to stay here, yeah.
All right, cool. Sam, what about for you?
Yeah, so my freshman year, I was a bio major, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it. And then towards the end of my freshman year, I switched my major to pre-med. So I have another 4-ish years going to med school. I want to be an anesthesiologist. And then I have to take my MCAT, obviously. And if that doesn't, like, work out, there's two programs that are nursing programs back home, Nightingale and Samuel Merritt, to be a nurse. So then I'd be a RN and then eventually work my way up to be a CRNA, which is a nurse anesthetist. And then, yeah, that would be like another. I get 2 years in the ICU, and then I get to do a 2-year program to be a nurse anesthetist.
Awesome. So, yeah. You ready to take on some of the student loans, though?
Well, I think I'm kind of fortunate. My grandma said that she would help me along the way, so it won't be too much to student loans, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Thank the Lord for grandmas, huh?
Yeah, she's a nurse, so
there you go.
Following in her footsteps.
Mm-hmm. That's great. All right, Coach. Just talk about what I know you mentioned, you know, the what you took away from the season, but just talk more about where the program is at. Again, this was your first year, what your goals were, how you'd be able to accomplish that, and what you'd look forward to in year two.
Yeah, so we said this year, obviously trying to get to that, you know, semifinal game, trying to push, you know, the limits of where we had been before, you know, getting to experience that was a big thing for us this year. And I think the future is really bright for the program. I think this year the culture that these guys set and, you know, really got the guys to buy into really, you know, helps us. It helps us in recruiting. It helps us in off season. It helps us, you know, attract the guys that are going to continue to help us to build the program who want to come in and play the right way and work hard and invest in the campus and the community. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, where can we continue to grow? And, you know, that starts when we come back from Christmas break and, you know, start putting the work in the off season. But, you know, for next year, the hope would be, okay, you can take that next step and get to a championship game or get to, you know, win a championship. And that's, hopefully obviously the end goal for all the teams in our conference, but along the way, continuing to build wins and find ways that, you know, we can be successful outside of that as well.
Recruiting wise, how many commits do you have for next year? And you hit a lot of the, obviously, you know, the great pools around here and the great programs with the Clovis Norths and Buchanan's and the Clovis Highs and all that. Sanger, right? I'll throw mm-hmm. them in there as well. Like, like where are you at with that recruiting wise and getting some local kids?
Definitely. We've had some early commits and, you know, obviously we're in the visit stage right now. A lot of guys, especially in the Valley, just finished high school season. And so we're getting them in for visits, you know, in the next couple weeks and, getting them a chance to see the campus and get to meet the guys. And, you know, we're hoping to, you know, kind of get more of the class rounded out in the February, you know, January, February timeframe, when guys start, you know, getting those decisions in. So, we're excited with the interest and obviously we're in a, you know, a pretty big hotbed of water polo and a lot of talent here in the Valley. And we're hoping to keep a lot of those guys here.
Awesome. Maybe next time you're on the show, we'll say who you were able to recruit and get to Fresno Pacific University. All right, thank you guys for coming on, man. Great pleasure. Appreciate you. And we'll take a break, and we're going to bring on Chase Hammes and Jordan Lambert. We're going to keep Coach here as well. So thank you guys. Thank Forrest and Sam for coming on. Appreciate it.
Sweet. Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. You're listening to Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show. Just had a really good conversation with a couple members of the water polo team at Fresno Pacific University. It was Forrest Gray and Sam Ramos. They're both graduating, which is awesome. They both have plans as well. So super cool to talk with them. So we kept Coach John Miller with us. We need to spell your name, John. Do you use the H or is it just J-O-N?
Just J-O-N.
Yes. I like those guys. All right. Forget. You don't like Perfect. Those H guys, right? The other Johns, you just kind of shun them a little bit. We're the J-O-N guys. All right. Yep. Cool stuff. All right. So we got Chase Hammes, who's been on the show before, right? We had a good time last time. A local guy from Sanger High School. And Jordan Lambert, he's a sophomore, and Coach is going to stick with us. So we had a little bit of talk off air about Thanksgiving, right? It was just last week. Jordan, so you are from the Portland area?
Yeah, I live in right outside of technically Portland, but I'm right next to it, yeah.
So, and you were able to get up there for Thanksgiving with a couple guys.
Rough 13 and a half hour drive, but we did it. It was rough, though.
Straight shot? You didn't have to pull over and take a nap or anything, or what'd you do?
We stopped at one place in Ashland. It was like a breakfast spot. My sister used to go to school there, so I always stopped there just for tradition.
Yeah, I mean, really but good. Just to eat and hang and
yeah,
just
and
walk
we got,
around
we stopped
a little
to get gas and use the bathroom, too. Yeah.
Got it. All right. And you went with one of your teammates as well.
Yeah, I went with I went with Tristan, which lives like a block away from me. He's the one that grew up with me going to Reynolds High School. And then Jake Canales. He's from Texas.
All right. Awesome stuff. And then, Chase, what about for you? You're local, so you don't have to drive very hard to get home. But Thanksgiving for you, and I heard your dad cooks a mean bird.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he loves to cook. And it was just great to go home and see all my family members that came and visited from other towns. So, yeah, it was great.
Big family, small family, medium-sized family, what do you got?
I mean, we have a big family. I was originally born in San Diego, but we moved up here when I was, like, 5 years old. So our Thanksgiving, sometimes we'll go down there, but most of the time it'll be here, and we'll have the family members over that live here as well.
A lot of cousins? Do you have a lot of cousins?
A lot of cousins.
You guys play football or anything like that, like in the streets, maybe tackle football on the lawn? Nothing like that?
I play when we go down to San Diego.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. There you go. Just don't get hurt. Right? That's what, right? Mm-hmm. Don't get hurt.
That's right. Yeah. We have till next season. So.
You're okay. Don't get hurt when you play tackle ball or play a sport at Thanksgiving with your cousins. All right. All right. So we talked to Coach. We heard from the other guys about just kind of a season wrap up. I know you guys ended on a strong note. You guys performed really well in the PacWest tournament in Ohio. Just kind of what are some of your takeaways from this season? We're going to get into a little bit more with you, Chase, because you're the goalie. I love talking about that position with you. But like, wrap up for the season. What were some highlights of the year for you?
Yeah, I mean, the season felt really short to me. It flew by super quick. We're definitely improving a lot, and our team work ethic is the thing that stands out to me the most. Throughout the season, we kind of just improved every single week and every single day, and we always brought our 100% that we could give. So it was great near the end.
And in the last segment, we talked a little bit about, we didn't hit it too hard, about playing Division I opponents and how that prepared you for the tournament. Right, you're playing against some tough dudes, right? Just how do you think those games playing, you know, against high-level competition helped you throughout the season?
Yeah, I mean, we have a really tough schedule against all these Division I teams, and I think we play like the best of the best in the nation, so it prepares us in every single way possible. We beat one of the Division I schools that we played this year, which was really great, and we always learn from those teams, right? Because they're super good and very talented, and yeah, we can always learn from them.
Awesome. Jordan, what about for you? What are your takeaways? What did you enjoy about the season?
I think there's been a big transition in the program, and it's kind of noticing that come to play, especially in the game, on the pool deck, with your emotions and just everything as a team. I feel like it's greatly like changed, and it's severely helped us as players. I'd also say our Iona win, that was the D1 win. I was super hyped to win that game. It was something that we all really wanted and reached for. So it's excellent that we won that.
What was the final score of that game?
I think that one was like 20-17. Yeah. It was a barn burner, that one.
What were the final 2 minutes of that game like? Was it kind of wild? You remember?
It was. I mean, they kept scoring. We kept scoring. I think it was, you know, just back and forth the entire time. That was when you had a goal,
yeah,
right? Chase scored once. Everybody was getting in on that one.
All right. I'm not going to let you go without telling that story. How'd you get a goal?
So sometimes at the end of a quarter, we'll go like 7-man offense. So I'll just leave the cage and go play offense with them. And I think it was the end of the third quarter. I think it was like tied at that time. And I just went down to play offense with them as well, and it was just a buzzer beater, and
the ball found you.
Yeah,
and you shot your shot.
Exactly.
So were you like one for one on the year?
No.
Oh, you took more shots. I didn't know how that worked.
Yeah, like, I mean, if the quarter is almost over, I just check a full quarter.
Got it. How many times? What is that, like a 5% shot when you're just chucking it from one goal to the other? Like, how often does that really happen in a match?
Rarely ever. Probably less than 5%.
Have you ever personally seen one?
There was one in the Olympics this past summer. Our USA goalie actually had a full court shot. That's pretty cool.
What if a full court? I don't want to put you on the spot, but what if a full court shot went against you? What went in? How devastating would that be?
I would probably tell Coach to pull me. That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, Coach. So, what are these two guys bring to the program? You're going to get them next year as well. What did you love to see about them in the pool and how they improved this year?
Well, I mean, obviously we're thankful to have them both back, you know, for next year. I think, obviously, you know, I mean, Chase, he's been the backbone of our defense all season, you know, coming up with big save after big save, like I said, coming down the stretch, you know, in every conference game. We were just, you know, looking through our conference stats this, you know, this afternoon, and I think we had the second lowest goals against in the conference during conference play. It was second in steals, saves, you know, and really won us, you know, at least a handful of games this season. When you have a goalie that can, you know, come up with blocked 5 meters, you know, steal a counter pass, you know, all those things, they're momentum changing plays. And obviously he was, you know,
appropriately recognized as, you know, all conference and all tournament at the end of the year. And Jordan has been a true utility for us this year. I think we kind of bounced him around and, you know, trying to figure out exactly where we wanted to use him, and someone who has the ability to play some center, play some center defender, play on the perimeter, kind of that, you know, jack of all trades. And he did a really good job of doing whatever we asked him to do this year. It's not always the glamour position, especially as a center defender, but being able to control the middle of the pool, dictate tempo, and really help, you know, our goalies get the defense to organize is a huge blessing for us, and we're glad to have them, you know, both back.
Awesome. Next season. All right. Well, I'm going to follow that up with Jordan. It's like, how much was it difficult work being moved around a little bit? You're just like, hey, I'll do anything for the team. What did that look like for you this year?
I mean, before I came to the program, I was like a center, and in Oregon, the polo was very different. So I knew coming into college that I was probably going to get thrown around. I'm pretty skinny. I mean, I'm tall, but I'm skinny. So you kind of, you have benefits with the height, but you also need to put the weight on. And sometimes certain positions just doesn't line up perfectly. And so I knew coming into a program, especially like my other school or this one, that I would be moved around. And so it was okay. I mean, I like playing guard. I like playing center. Sometimes I like playing outside in utility. But it's interesting trying to learn like all the mindsets of every teammate also. I'm like trying to see what I can do better, or it's definitely a puzzle.
I can see just from meeting you today that you'd be probably a kind of one of those secret strength kind of guys, like wiry strength. Am I right on that? Where you're kind of getting after it. You're not putting up with anybody's stuff that they're trying to throw at you. Is that kind of your mentality?
Yeah, I mean, especially being a guard, I feel like you have a certain stubbornness or ego that like you don't want to get spun. Like that's the most embarrassing thing that can happen to you, and you don't want to be put into a position that you look like you just got dogged on, like in the most polite way possible. Like you just, I will say yes for sure that there is some, for me, like ego about not wanting to get like beat up and stuff in the pool. So I try to use my strength in the best way that I can.
I like it. You got that mentality that makes for tough competition for sure. So Chase, we might have talked about this last time you were on the show. How about this goalie? Okay. What was like your favorite save this year, or the best save that you think you had?
Favorite save this year, I think definitely in our conference tournament, in our quarterfinal game that we won against McKendree. It was late in the fourth quarter. I think we were up by like 2 or 3 already, but I had a huge penalty save that kind of just put the nail in the coffin. And then we had all the momentum from there, so we were able to close out the game. That was pretty cool.
You remember that, Coach? Oh, definitely. What did it look like from your perspective?
Well, I'd see it, and, you know, he was going up against, you know, McKendree had a lefty that was one of the leading scorers in the conference, and he already had 4 goals on the day. And, you know, being up by 3 is always the, like, the uncomfortable spot because you're 1 goal away from, you know, being up by 2, and, you know, then it's just a 2-possession game. So with as much time that was on the clock, we knew that, you know, we had to come up with a save, and Chase has come up with, you know, penalty saves throughout the year, and that was by far the biggest one, and yeah, really slammed the door on any comeback that they were gonna have.
Did you guess right? Where did you try to go with it?
Actually, I told my teammate Luke Young, he's a lefty, and I know that lefties like to go across their body because they can shoot harder, and that's exactly where he went. So I gave thanks to my teammate because I know where he goes. So I figured that lefty would go the same spot.
Awesome. All right, Chase. Is it lonely being in goal? Like, just kind of walk me through it. Like, what is that feeling like?
Yeah, I mean, technically, I play like half of the game. But when we're on offense, yeah, it is kind of lonely. But I would say that I'm supposed to communicate a lot to my team. So I don't feel lonely because I'm always talking. So
good. That's a good answer. We're going to bring the other guys in here. We got some questions for them as well. So let's give them the big wave. How about this question for you guys while the other guys come in? When people find out you're water polo players, whether it's on campus or maybe, I don't know, maybe they're asking you, hey, what are you doing in life? Well, I go to Fresno Pacific. I play water polo. Like, what do you guys say about water polo? Or it's maybe something that most people don't understand about the game.
I feel like it's kind of like a hidden sport almost. Not a lot of people know about it, especially from my hometown playing in Oregon. But I don't think people truly understand the endurance and the aggressiveness of the game. Like, you have to be extremely mentally sharp when it comes to it, and you have to be always prepared for something to come at you. And you're going to get hit. You're going to get, you know, everything's going to go your way some games and not go your way another game. It's a very aggressive sport, in my opinion. So I think that's one of the biggest things that people don't recognize.
So when you tell them maybe some war stories, things that are happening in the pool, are they surprised? Sometimes, like, really? Is it really that tough? Is that some of the questions you get?
Sometimes, I'd say, yeah. Sometimes not. I mean, there's always some incident in sports, I feel like, no matter it's, like, within contact and stuff. So, but a lot of the people that I've, like, told stories, like, one time I cut open the entire, like, part of my gums, and it, like, detached from my jaw, and I told somebody about that, and they were pretty grossed out.
Yeah, detached jaws, that's something you don't want to picture.
Yeah.
Guys are looking up. All right, so we got time for some questions, and we got Jackson in the house right now. So we have some questions from the student bodies. I think, actually, we know who these questions are coming from. So you guys have not been prepped for these questions. You never know what you're going to get, as we know from previous times on the show. So here we go, Jackson. Take it away.
Yeah, so we've got some questions from the men's track team. Coach, first for you, Zach himself actually asked this question. You're Lancer by trade. What school was your biggest rival then, and who do you see as your biggest rival now?
Ooh. My biggest rival then was Concordia. I think they've always had a strong program. You know, it's always fun getting in the pool against them. And I would say they're probably one of the ones now, along with Biola. They're the two that you know, you're always shooting for, and we want to have good results against.
Mr. Lambert, Jonathan Biffle asks, what's your favorite restaurant, not fast food chain, in Fresno?
I would say Pho 559. It's right next to the campus, actually. It's a little hidden gem. They have really good food there. It's probably one of my favorite places to go to.
Mr. Hams, Augustus Remlinger asks, are you getting coal for Christmas? What's on your Christmas list?
I think the main thing on my Christmas list is probably some new shoes. Just some new shoes.
Mr. Ramos, you already kind of answered the first half earlier, but Rome Johnson asks, what's your dream job and what do you think you'd like about it?
My dream job? A doctor or a nurse. And what, like, why I really want is because my grandma helped me along the way. She had cancer, and I just want to help people how she helped me throughout my life.
And finally, for Mr. Gray, Esteban Gonzalez asks, what are your thoughts on deforestation?
That, I wanted to be an environmental science major, so not a big deforestation guy. Thanks, Esteban.
Well, what's next for the Sunbirds? Men's and women's swim will head down Saturday to Orange for a tri meet with Chapman in San Diego. You can also catch Sunbird basketball at home this week in the conference openers. Thursday, the Sunbirds will play Biola. The women tip off at 5 p.m. and the men tip off at 7:15 for Breast Cancer Awareness Night, sponsored by PierPoint. And Saturday, they'll take on Point Loma, with the women tipping off at 2 p.m. and the men facing the number 4 Sea Lions at 4:15 p.m. for Stuff the SEC Night, where you can get $5 admission if you bring a stuffed animal for Valley Children's Hospital. There will also be a youth game at halftime, so lots of stuff happening. But at Golden Gymnasium on the campus of Point Loma, where volleyball will take on 6th seed and number 15th in the nation, Western Washington, on Thursday at 11 a.m., streaming for free on NCAA.com. A win will bring a semifinal match on Friday at 4 p.m., and another one will bring it to Saturday at 7 p.m. Lots of exciting stuff. So stay tuned. Back to you, Paul.
All right, good stuff. We still got a couple minutes. We got some bonus time right now, so I just prepped the guys. All right, best Christmas present ever that you have received. Jordan, go.
Well, that's hard. When I was, like, 6, my parents got me I was really into reptiles and, like, plants and, like, having, like, pets and stuff like that growing up, and I'd always catch frogs and stuff like that. And my parents actually got me a chameleon for my birthday, and that was probably one of the coolest gifts I've ever gotten.
How long do chameleons live for?
That specific chameleon lived for like 6 years, I think, 6 or 7.
There you go. Awesome. Of course you went there, right, with the 6, 7, right? Awesome stuff. Had to throw that in there. All right, Chase, what about for you?
I think mine's a little less interesting than Chameleon, but one that I can remember was me and my brothers 1 year got airsoft guns, and we would always play a bunch of battles with the airsoft guns and stuff.
In Sanger. Is that down in San Diego?
In Sanger.
In Sanger. Yeah. All right. Forrest, what about for you? Best ever?
My mom got me a 2DS, and then she gave me money to go buy Pokemon X. That was like the best Christmas ever.
That's probably worth like $200 right now. Probably that game right there.
Oh, maybe.
Might be. All right, Sam, what about for you?
We got 2 hoverboards for Christmas when I was like 10 or 11, and me and my brothers would we'd go on the hoverboards, and we would race around the house and see who would win, and then end up like falling and tripping. It would be really bad.
Not the Back to the Future ones, just like the regular hoverboards?
No, the OG hoverboards. Yeah.
All right, Coach, you got about 15 seconds. Favorite for you?
All right. When I was a kid, I was big into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So there was a van that, they could all ride in, all the action figures. That was, definitely a memorable one.
You are a 90s kid.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Great stuff. Hey, thanks, guys, for coming on, man. Had a lot of fun. Thanks for listening to everybody out there. Thanks for Jorge for producing the show. Chase, Jordan, Forrest, Sam, and Coach Miller as well. Hey, have a great Christmas, man. Hopefully you guys maybe get another iguana or a hoverboard or something like that. All right. Thanks for listening. This has been the Sunburst Sports Show on 790 ESPN.